My name is Helen. For those that who don't know who I am a staff worker of Focus. Whoever comes every Wednesday would know me. Who comes to my small group would know me. And this is my second year with Credit. So nice to meet you guys. Today, before we start, I want to see how much you know about Buddhism. So as you see that Matt had kind of started the first question, I'm going to ask you a few questions to see how much you know about Buddhism. Should we start? So each question, there will be two answers on the slide. So you are to choose which one is right and wrong. Okay? Ready? Okay, first question. What was the real name of the founder of Buddhism? Is it Dakini Sariputta or Siddhartha Gautama?
Second.
Okay, answer is Siddhartha Gautama. And second question, which of the following is the popular form of Buddhism? Is it Zen or Totoro? And the answer is... Third question, listen. Buddhism shares its root with what other major world religion? Is it Hinduism or Christianity? Yes, you guys know it all. You don't need me talking. Okay. Question four. Which of the following is Buddha also known as? The man of people or the enlightened one? Okay, thank you. So, who's got all four questions right? I thought everyone got all four questions right. Three, right? Two? Okay, I won't ask. Thank you. As Clara just said before, we are now in the second week of the What Would Jesus Say to Someone series. And today, we will be talking about what would Jesus say to Buddha. Yes, giggle. And so, imagine, have you ever imagined what when Jesus and Buddha meet, what would they talk about? I think it would be something like this. Buddha may say, "No one says but ourselves. No one can, no one may. We ourselves must walk the path." But what Jesus would say, "Very truly I tell you, whoever heeds my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not judge but has crossed over from death to life." Then Buddha says, "Believe nothing, no matter where you read it or who said it. No matter if I have said it, unless it agrees with your own reason and your own common sense." Yet Jesus would say, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And this imaginary dialogue can just go on and on. For those that who don't know much about Buddhism, I think it will be helpful for us to first look at the story of Buddha. Hey? So who's Buddha? Buddha is an Indian prince whose original name was Siddhartha Gautama. When Siddhartha was born, a prophecy came to his parents and said that Siddhartha will either be a king or be a person who will help people in the world to find the truth in life. His parents, of course, wanted him to become king, so they kept him in the palace and avoiding him to see the nasty things in the world, which is like aging, sickness, and death. He got married at the age of 16 and then had a son when he was 29. As he grew up, he gradually discovered that people will actually grow old and they will get sick and eventually die. He realized that life is actually full of pain and suffering, so he left the palace and his family behind to go on a journey hoping to search way out from this pain and suffering. His years of harsh life that he lived, spent days and months to study and meditate. He was highly disciplined to avoid all kinds of pleasure, including starving himself to search for true meaning of life. One day, Siddhartha believed that he found the truth. He found the answer. He concluded that human being is living in an illusion. The suffering in life was caused by our own craving and desire. Human being suffers because we do not understand or accepting the reality of life that is impermanent. The only way to go beyond this suffering is to meditate, which is to understand the reality of life and to come to realization of the karma of life. So you would know how to reduce the debt, say. For those who don't know what karma means, I've got a definition on the slide for you. Okay. Thank you. Karma is a word meaning the result of a person's action as well as the actions themselves. It's a term about the cycle of cause and effect. According to the theory of karma, what happens to a person happens because they cause it with their action. Now, going back to Siddhartha's story, after he came to such a conclusion, he then became enlightened because he has searched for the state where that he is no longer bothered by this suffering. He understood the reality of the karma of life that no one can actually escape. He had pretty much concluded that we live because we still have debt to pay. And there's nothing we can do about it. The only thing that we can do is deal with it. After Siddhartha has enlightened, he was then called Buddha, the awakened one. Buddha gathered around him a group of disciples. He wandered in the North India to teach all who would listen to him. Eventually, he died of old age. So Buddha teaches that hardship and sickness in this life is basically consequence from the bad things that we did in our previous life. The life that we live now is to pay debts accumulated in the past. Spring off from this claim, it reminds me of my childhood. If you don't know me, I was born in Hong Kong and grew up in Hong Kong, a city that is heavily influenced by Buddhism. I got told that I was a difficult child to raise. I was always sick and often need to visit the hospital a few times a year. As I grew up, I often got in trouble at school as well. Honestly, my grandparents and parents had gone through a lot of troubles and sleepless nights raising me up. Sometimes when things had gone a bit out of hand, they would actually tell me something like, "Oh, I wonder if I've done something bad to you in the previous life that I need to pay you back with this life. What's going on? Why are you always sick?" Back then, I did think that that was true. Karma of life concept was kind of making sense because it gave me the explanation of why I had such a troublesome childhood. At one point, I thought, Buddha had explained my existence of why that I have such a, you know, troublesome childhood. And left me feeling that life is worthless and depressed. And life is like a heavy baggage that I can't bear. Life becomes meaningless and hopeless. It's just too difficult. Why bother living? What's the point of living in this world? Buddha taught his followers that all human beings will suffer, and the primary purpose of this life is to end suffering. Buddhists believe that humans suffer because we continually striving after things that we do not last. Especially do not give lasting happiness. They believe that if a person wants to lessen suffering, they need to follow the Noble Eightfold Path, which is...
Hey, that's Hong Kong. Matt, hang on, too fast. Hey,
Okay. The Noble Eightfold Path, which is to have the right knowledge, have the right intention, have the right speech, to do the right action, to have the right livelihood, the right effort, right mindfulness, and the right concentration. If they can follow all these rules, they can eventually enter nirvana, which, in other words, is the end of this rebirth cycle. Otherwise, suffering continues and would extend to the next life. Now you can. Sorry, we should have rehearsed. Done. Next. Ravi Zacharia is a Christian scholar who spent many years in researching Buddhism. In his book, The Lotus and the Cross, he put together an imaginary conversation between Jesus, Buddha, and a prostitute. He's part of the conversation concerning the debt to pay in this life. Buddha says, "Woman, you are not free from death when you were born, and you won't be free from death when you die. And your every act and deed has to be paid for." And Jesus says, "Has to be paid for? Gautama, how does one pay? With what does one pay? And to whom does one pay? The creditor haunts but isn't there." Buddha suggested to the woman that her broken life was the consequence from the bad things that was done before, in this life and also the life before that. What she does in this life, the same way, will add to the debt to be paid later. In response to that, Jesus asks the how, the what, and the whom question. How many good things does a person need to do in order to pay off the debt created by the bad things that was done before? But what is good and what is bad? Who's there to judge and whom to pay? In reality, no one can ever go past the Noble Eightfold Path, and no one can ever go beyond this cycle of life carrying the heavy debt. It's like when you go on a never-ending journey with the oversized luggage. Yes. Or it's like a mouse running in a wheel, and it just got put on that wheel. I was going to say put in, but it's on. It got no other choice besides running aimlessly, not knowing when the track is going to end. So what does the Bible say about life? At the beginning, life was supposed to be perfect and given by God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, it says, "God saw all he had made, and it was very good." However, because of sin, human being can no longer be with God, because God is righteous and just. Whoever rebelled against him has to be punished, and this punishment is death, a total separation from God. There's no second chance. Death is the end. Hang on. But this would be the case for us. But God didn't just leave us to live a life without hope. In Isaiah chapter 51, verse 6, it says, "We all, like sheep, has gone astray. Each of us has turned to our way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Although human beings sinned and rebelled against God, he still loves his creation and his people and wants to save us from the eternal death. That's why he sends his son Jesus to come and die for us on the cross. It's the once for all sacrifice that through believing Jesus, that we might be saved and have eternal life, meaning to be with God again. In the passage that Karen had just read for us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 9, we see how much God loved us. When we were dead in sin, God made us alive with Jesus. And the only thing we need to do is to trust in Him. This is by grace that we are saved. It's not by our work. It is actually the gift of God. Friends, you might come here wanting to listen, what would Jesus say to Buddha? But the more important question, I think, is what would Jesus say to you and to me? What Jesus wants us to know is that our lives have a purpose. This purpose is not to follow many rules, to try to be good or to pay off heavy debt. The real purpose in life is that Jesus wants us to know that it's actually to turn back to God from our broken life and to repent and to glorify Him as it was in the beginning. This life we live is not like what the Buddha say, that is filled with suffering and heavy debt. Our life is designed by God to be wonderful and be blessed through Jesus Christ. The life Jesus would give is a life forgiven from sin. It's a life with hope. It's a life filled with His overflowing grace. Before I finish, let me share with you a story of the story of Lulu. Lulu is his nickname. In Chinese, Lulu means roe. I was told by his mother that she gave him this nickname because he was born in the middle of the road in a village. When Lulu was born, he was diagnosed with a severe congenital heart disease. The doctor even suggested that Lulu may die any time. Lulu's parents loved him and wanted him to live. But sadly, it just seemed impossible for them to save this fragile life, because they don't have the money to pay for Lulu's open heart surgery, nor they know what to do to raise this child. But what would you do, and how would you feel if you're Lulu's parents? The helpless mom carried the child in her arm, run to the little church in the village, thinking that was the last chance that she could save her child. Not knowing what to do, also, the pastor and the church prayed for her child. Since then, Lulu's mom kept coming to the church every week. Not that Lulu was healed instantly by one or two prayers, but it is Lulu's mom that found the lasting comfort in the Word of God. An amazing thing happened. In the same year, a team of Christian medical profession from Hong Kong went to this village, and they met Lulu, and they agreed to help him without a coin, like with no money needed, with for free. Thank God. Lulu and his parents were living in misery and hopelessness in, like, 7 years ago, just like that. But now they have hope in Jesus. This is not just the realization of the fact of suffering in life, like what Buddha has taught, nor the accepting of karma of life, or the learning of letting go of your desire. It's about the hope given by the Creator God, who is powerful, righteous, and loving. The hope is secure, and it lasts. They may face trouble in the future, which include Lulu may die one day. But they're not worried, because they know that God has promised them a far much better life in heaven than this one on earth, where Lulu needs to suffer from this heart disease. Today, this humble family are blessed and become a blessing to others in this village because they know very well that Jesus is with them. That's what he says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, Jesus' yoke, and Jesus' burden is light. Remember the troubled childhood that I had before? I was living in hopelessness with the Buddhism cultural influence. I believe my life was a heavy baggage, and I saw no point of living. At some point in my life, I remember I even had the thought of ending my life in my early teenage years. But God didn't just let me go like that. 15 years ago, God had reached out to me and let me see the truth and the hope in life that Buddhism or other religion can never give me. My life used to be bounded by heavy baggage, but now no longer heavily burdened, because I have followed Jesus. I know for certain that when I die, I will be with God in heaven. Buddha might see the problem in life, but only Jesus reaches out to human's heart to seek to reconcile and to save. So if anyone wants to find out more about the differences between Christianity and Buddhism, or to understand a bit more about Buddhism, you can go to, you can have a look at these books, which I think it will be a nice read. Or if you want to talk to me later during dinner, you can too. Or if you are too shy, you can write it in your feedback form. I will get to you as well. Okay, now I'll invite Richard to come and pray for us. Okay.